We never go backwards, but today's Parsha Perspectives is going to take us back to Parshas Vayetzer for a Lag BaOmer special. No, not Vayetzer Yaakov Mibashev, but the end of that Parsha. In the seventh reading of Parshas Vayetzer, which is the 31st chapter of the book of Genesis, we hear about Yaakov and Lavan. Father Jacob, he wants to go home. Home to the land of Israel. His father-in-law is not happy about that. And he follows him in hot pursuit, and he catches up to him, and he threatens him. And in the end, everything kind of works out okay. And Yaakov Avinu says, look, we're going to create an agreement here where you don't bother me and I don't bother you. So in the seventh reading, verse 44, it says, Va'ata, now, L'cha nichras abris. Let's make this covenant. Ani va'ata, you and I. V'hoya la'ed b'ni uv'necha. And this will be a sign between you and I. And Yaakov says, okay, let's do this. Vayikach Yaakov oven. Yaakov takes a stone. Vayirimeha matseva. He hurls it so that it becomes, it settles upright as a monument. The Sepharno says that the meaning of Vayirimeha matseva, he hurls it or throws it up as a monument. This comes from the idea that if you want to make a covenant, let's set the covenant up. Let's establish it. And the term matseva comes from the word nitzevet v'kayemet, standing tall. So he says, so too, just as the even is nitzova, just as the stone is standing, so too our covenant will stand. And then Yaakov goes further, not just a monument. Ayomer Yaakov le'echov. Yaakov says to his brothers, "Liktu avonim." Now go and collect stones, collect rocks. Vayikla avonim, and they collected rocks. They took rocks. Vayasu gol, and he made a pile. And then vayechol shom al gol. They had for bringing on the rocks. Who were his brothers? He doesn't have any brothers. He had one brother. They weren't exactly talking. So Rashi says that's Banav. It's his children. They were Achim, Nigoshim, Elav, Betzora. They were like his brothers in arms. His brothers when he had problems and issues. So he calls them his brothers, not really his brother. It's a euphemism. So the Shvatim go and get stones. They pile up the stones and they have lunch. What's going on with that? Why did they eat on the pile of stones? Couldn't find a more comfortable place to sit. So Ramban says that the reason they ate there is because this is the way of creating covenants. Covenants are associated with verbringens. So they had a covenant, made a deal, we cut the deal, and we had dinner over it. And so we had dinner together, said, okay, this is a done deal, as they say. This is solid. Vayikra le Lavan yigar sahadusa. Lavan calls it pile of stones, collection of stones in Aramaic. The Yaakov Korole Galed. Yaakov calls it the pile which will serve as testimony. And Sepharno says, you see, Yaakov never changed his language. He may have lived in Iraq. He may have hung with the tough guys, but he always still spoke Hebrew. And when he had his brothers, he could name the stone, he could name the monument, he named it in Hebrew. Rashi tells us that Yigar Sadusa and Galed are actually the same idea. That's the Targum, that's the meaning of Galed. So we have this notion that they took a pile of stones. Lavan calls the pile of stones a name in a language we don't speak. And Yaakov calls it a pile of stones, a pile of testimony stones. So far we have the term pile three times already. Once straight up pile, the second time in Targum, in another language, and the third time is a conjunctive word galed. In case you don't know what the pile of stones is yet, Vayemer Lavan. Lavan says, Hagalaze eid beni uveinecha. Uveincha. This a pile of stones will be testimony between you and I. Hayem, from this day onward. Al Kain, Kodesh Shmoy, that's why he called the name Galed. All right, so far we're clocking in at five times that obsessing about this pile of stones, calling it a pile of stones. It's a pile of stones, eh? That pile of stones is a pile of stones. Okay? Just want you to know that. And we're calling it a pile of stones. Okay, this is good. So Yaakov calls it a pile of stones, and then Lavan calls it a pile of stones. And Ramban says, you see, Lavan was so impressed with Yaakov's Hebrew, he decided to switch languages too. Now he calls it a pile of stones in Hebrew. So we have Yaakov calling it a pile of stones, Lavan calling it pile of stones in a different language. Then Lavan coming back and say, right, pile of stones. Then it says, "V'ha'mitzvah asher yitzav Hashem beniu uveinecha," and this lookout spot between which God will see between us. Kinesasa ishmeneo. Don't think you can hide from me, but you can't hide from God. So this is going to be that lookout point. God's going to be looking out from this pile of stones. And Lavan threatens him, "Don't you dare abuse my wives." This is the same Lavan who was ready to kill his daughters and his grandchildren just about 10 minutes ago. "Don't you dare mistreat my wives. God will be my witness." All right. Vayomer Lavan liYaakov. Lavan says to Yaakov, after threatening him and making him aware of the fact that God is looking out for him. This is the idolater preaching to the rabbi, telling him there's a God in the world. So Lavan says, "Hine hagalazeh." You see that pile? Number 6. See that pile? "Hine hamatzeva." There is the monument. Asheyurisi beinei uvenecha. There's the monument I set up. You set up the monument? You didn't set up the monument. Yaakov set up the monument. All the Mefarshim asked this question. Rashbam says it was done at Lavan's suggestion. Lavan said, "Let's make a deal." Yaakov said, "Okay, that sounds like a good show. Let's make a deal." He threw the monument up, but since it was Lavan's insistence, so that's why it's called by his name. Radak says something similar. He says the covenant was initiated by Lavan, so therefore it's as if Lavan had set up the monument. But Lavan gets credit for the monument. He doesn't get credit for the pile, okay? He says, well, he kind of takes credit for everything, but Yaakov puts it together. It was about Lavan who initiated this idea, and therefore he emphasizes, here's the monument, here's the pile. Verse 52, "Eida galazeh." I think we're at 8 now. "This pile is a testimony, the Eida hamatzeva," emphasis. So we hear about the monument 3 times, but we're going 8 times on the stone already. "Imani loy e'evir elecha esagalazeh." You don't go past this pile. "V'imata le'saver elai." You don't come past me. "Esagalazeh." Past this pile. In the same sentence, in the same pasuk, twice. "Hagalazeh." This pile of stones. "And this matzeva l'ra'a." Ah, Rashi says, look at that. Look at that, he says. This pile of stones becomes a point of demarcation. And the point of demarcation is so that you will not pass by l'ra. You will not pass by this site for a bad purpose. Okay, what does that mean, l'ra? And for other reasons you could come by? So Rashi says, that's right. L'ra, to harm one another, i'ata oiver. You can't come past this pile of stones to harm me. Aval ata oiver l'prakmatia. But you can come by this pile of stones if you want to do business. You want to turn a buck, no problem. But don't come by with baleful intent to try to harm me. That's what this covenant is about. That's what the pile of stones is about. So now we have the pile of stones so many times spoken of and referenced and pointed at. And here he goes into this whole business of my God and your God is going to look out for us. And they brought offerings and they ate again. And they spent the night. 10 times a ma'aseh with a pile of stones. And the pile of stones becomes a wall of sorts. But it's what you call, it's not an impenetrable wall. It's a collection of loose stones. It's not really a wall, which is like a solid thing. And it kind of becomes a point of demarcation or a mark between, you don't go past there and I don't go past there. But that's only if we have bad ideas. Some of you trying to harm each other. If you're planning to come through and do something nice, well, then that's not a problem. So obviously,
didn't
this.
Did someone say that was the wall that Bilam's donkey pressed Bilam's leg against and stuff like that when he saw them off?
If I once said that, it must be a source for it. Because I usually don't make stuff like that up.
No.
I don't remember saying it, though.
No?
It doesn't mean it can be.
You didn't make it up. You read from, I don't know.
Read from one of those books I had in front of me. It could be. So obviously there's a message with the pile of stones. This is not an ordinary pile of stones. This is a pile of stones that Yaakov Avinu, it's the first pile of stones in world history ever that's talked about, but boy is it talked about. It's like emphasized again and again and again. There's got to be something more to this pile of stones. Okay, so let's rock on, and we're going to go to the Biurim book, and here we have a quote. The Rebbe brings us a quote from a Maimer of the Alter Rebbe. It's on page Tzadik Aleph, and this Maimer of the Alter Rebbe is printed in a Siddur, a special Siddur, which is printed along with Hasidic commentary known as Siddurim Dach. And there's a Shar Halag Ba'imer. There is a special portal through which the teachings of Lag Ba'omer stream. And in Shar Lag Ba'omer, it says the following. Yesh remez godel Lag Ba'omer b'teira shebechsav. There is a big allusion, as in hint, to the concept of Lag Ba'omer in the scripture. Really? Yeah, the Alter Rebbe says, yeah, definitely. You know where? He says, go to Parshas Vayetze and look in the 31st chapter at the end, beginning of the 7th reading of Vayetze, and there you'll see that there's an emphasis of a gal. Gal, gimel lamed, transposed the other way spells, lag. 8 times, 10 times, gal. Ah, says the Alter Rebbe, the gal sheba pasuk eid hagal hazeh. That the pasuk that says eid hagal hazeh, this gal is a testimony, so the Alter Rebbe chooses one of the gals, not one of the other 10, but this gal, this is an allusion for Lag Ba'omer. Why in heaven is a pile of stones made by Jacob and his sons an allusion for Lag Ba'omer, the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, the chief promulgator of the mystical teachings of Torah HaKabbalah. So the Rebbe sets out here to explain the words of the Alter Rebbe. Begal shel avonim, in a pile of stones, this pile of rocks, yeshnam shnei inyanim minugadim. We find, as Rashi highlighted, two seemingly contradictory ideas. It seems somewhat oxymoronic. Mitzad echad, on one side, hagal balashamesh kehefsiku mechitza. This pile was supposed to serve as a division, a separation. Ben tzad echad l'mishneu. To one side, Lavan, and the other, Yaakov. Yaakov and Lavan were making their separation agreement. I don't want to see you again. You don't want to see me again. We don't want to see each other again. We have what's called an agricultural agreement. We bury our relationship and never see each other again. In fact, this is the line of separation. You don't come in my territory, I don't go in your territory. There ain't room in this town for the two of us. That's what the pile of stones is supposed to serve. But on the other hand, Hagal eni mahava hefsek mamashi v'shalom. It's not really a line of demarcation. It's not really a line of separation. K'mechayma, like a wall. It's not really like a wall. Elohu mashir adayin esei echeles v'ha efsharis la'avaraisei. It still allows for the possibility of traversing. You can still get from one side to the other because it's just a pile of stones. It's loose. The Great Wall of China, you can't get past that. Trump's wall. I don't know if you're going to get past that. But the pile of stones, you can get past that. It's not such an impressive wall. Yep, that does apply here. It applies to the stones, the loose collection, the pile of rocks of Yaakov and Lavan. Mitzad echad, on one side, from one hand, hagal noyad litzur hefsek ben Yaakov and Lavan. This was the sign of separation. We will no longer be sharing our lives. I may have married your daughters, but that's it. Goodbye, Charlie. These may be your grandchildren. You never seen them again. We're done. This is the line. And we're not going from one side to the other. Along with this, the verse emphasizes that it's only a partial separation. It's only an impenetrable wall to a degree. To a degree. Okapirish Rashi, like we just read in Rashi. Rashi says, for bad or baleful intent, there's an agreement here. You don't go past this line. But if you have something constructive to do, if you want to handle, as they say in Yiddish, you want to make a living, there's a business opportunity, no problem. No problem. There's room for us to do, we can't live together, but we can do business. You couldn't do business.
Is there going to be a guard at the
Who's checking? Check? Very good. There was the omnipresent. Right? Oh, okay. That was what was called the galed. That was the eye. You know, the American dollar. There's an eye on top of the pyramid over there. There was the eye on top of the pyramid. Okay. Come to think of it, I wonder what that pyramid represents. I wonder if it's the pile of stones. Interesting. But that's what he calls it, galed. Calls it a pile of stone. A pile of stone that's going to be a testimony. Whose testimony? God's testimony. He will see. He will see if you behave or not. Okay, lefizeh. Now, once we understand that this pile of stones on one hand represents a separation and a wall, on the other hand, not really. We'll understand the connection between this pasuk, Hagal hazeh, in Pnimiyas HaTeira, with the esoteric teachings of Torah, which were promulgated al yedei Rashbi by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and especially on Lag BaOmer. Why? Pnimiyas HaTeira, the inner or esoteric track of Teira, Nikras B'Shem Rozen De'Raisa. It's called the Secrets of Teira. Shehi HaChelik HaNister Shal HaTeira. This is the mystery of Teira. It stays hidden. As it says in the Zohar itself in Parshas Pinchas, and the Rebbe here gives us a Zoharic quote, Tzorich L'Chasor Rozen De'Raisa. Mysteries of Torah must be covered over. Camouflage them. Cover them. Nobody should see this. This is not for public consumption. Well, if it's not for public consumption, then Ketzad Eifa Yochel Hoyer Ashbi Legales Es Harnista Shebeteira. Then why in heaven was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai revealing all this if it wasn't meant to be revealed? On the original Lag BaOmer, it was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's last day on earth, and he wanted to teach Torah, and he taught and taught and taught, and he had more to say, so he stopped the sun and he kept teaching. That's the story. The light. The sun kept burning. The sun kept, and the night turned into day. Until Rabbi Shimon finished teaching everything he wanted to teach. And then when he finished revealing everything, then he was ready to go, and only then did night fall. That's one of the reasons that they light these huge bonfires in Miron last night, and in Tzvat, and in Hebron, and Yerushalayim, and elsewhere, turning the night into day. Reminiscent of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's last day on earth, in which the night turned into day, so he could reveal even more secrets of Torah. But you're not supposed to reveal this. This is supposed to be kept locked up, quiet. You said yourself, l'chasa. Ah, so the answer to that very question, which is a question that people had on Reb Shimon and those who followed in Reb Shimon's footsteps and revealed the secrets of Torah, like the Arizal who said, mitzvah legales. It's a mitzvah for us in today's day and age, leading up to Mashiach, to reveal these teachings. And the answer is, eid hagalaza. It's all about a pile of stones. Rock on, you Kabbalists. Omnam, indeed, kayemes mechitza v'havdala. There is a wall. There is a separation. Bein hanigla shebeteira, between the revealed area of Teira, lenista shebeteira, and the secrets of Teira. But, here's the but. Aval, mechitza zu, this division, this separation, eina asuya kechoy mechazaka. It's not a great wall of China. It isn't. It's not a wall. It's not a wall that cannot be traversed or crossed. It's a gal. The wall around the mysticism of Torah. The division, the separation between nigla and nister. The mysteries and that which is overt. It's only a pile. It's only a pile of rocks. Why a pile? Because a pile, hama'afsher, a pile that allows passage, me'ever l'tzad echa d'chaveri. It allows, pardon me, maver. It allows passage from one side to the other. Ha'agbolas b'inyoni gilui ha'nista shebeteira. The limitations on revealing these secrets, and there are limitations. Noyadu rak kadesha gila liyil ra. The reason that there are limitations on revealing the secrets of Kabbalah is so that it shouldn't end up being a bad thing. Because if Kabbalah is studied inappropriately and taken out of context, it could be a very bad thing. And there are tragic examples in history, even in our modern times, of people who perverted and abused Kabbalah. Dangerous business. You have to have a pile of stones, a wall of sorts, that will protect you. Don't allow the Kabbalah, the mystery, the secrets of Torah, to spill in the streets like that, if it will be l'ra'ah, if it will be for a negative selfish or perverse purpose. However, kishmagia hazman, when the right time comes, and it's come, so then yesh tzeirech v'nechitzos b'gili pnimis ha-teira, then there is a great need for promulgation of the mystical, esoteric aspects of Torah, the secret dimensions of Torah. It's mutar. That's permitted. Pragmatia means to make money, make a buck, make a profit. That's a metaphor. It's a euphemism. Just like a person doesn't go into business to maintain, but rather to grow his or her assets. It would be silly to invest your money, work all year, and at the end of the year, what do you have? Exactly what you put in. What did you do for? The Gemara in Yerushalmi says, Zovin, Zovin, if you sell and sell, but you didn't make anything, what was the point? That's not called business, that's called stupidity. So why do people make an investment? You risk your money in order to double your money, or at least increase your money. The point of profit, meaning of profit, is that you should have dividends. The point is that things should not remain as is, that they should be able to grow and develop. Ah, and that, my dear friends, what this is about. If somebody's Yiddishkeit is not changed in any way through his learning of mysteries of Torah, what are you doing? But if somebody learns the mysteries of Torah, and as a result is inspired and energized, and he has a fresh passion for lav davening and learning and serving Hashem, oh, then that's a very good pile to go past. Then you should have passage. Then you should take those secrets and reveal them. V'af tzarech laver alagal. You have to rock on right past the pile. Ula galais and reveal gamas pnimis ha-teira. And now we can understand the seemingly cryptic words of the Alter Rebbe, who says that Lag BaOmer is alluded to in the Torah itself. V'zeu atam lakach shamilas gal. This is the reason the word gal, misparish gam mashmer, so gilui, can also be understood not just as a pile, but the word gal can also be understood as gilui. And here the Rebbe says it's not just Scrabble. It's not just that the letters Lamed and Gimel can be read as gal or lag, one meaning 33 and one meaning pile, but rather that the gal is connected to the term gilui. And gilui means revelation, a piersum, a publicizing of Seydus HaTeira. Like David HaMelech says in Tillim, using the word gal in a very different way. In Psalm 119, in verse 18, Psalm 119, pardon me, verse 18, David HaMelech, using the word gal, refers not to a pile, but he says, gal einai, open my eyes, reveal my eyes before my eyes, va'abit in eflois meteresecha, and then I'll be able to see the wonders of your Torah. So that, my dear friends, is what Lag BaOmer is all about. That's what we celebrate today. And we hope and pray that Meretz Hashem, as a result, as a reward of celebrating Rabbi Shimon's Day of Joy and of rededicating ourselves to the study not only of Nigla, of the revealed area of Torah, but also to the mystical and esoteric dimensions of Torah, that we will be zeicha, will merit the full revelation of all secrets in our time with the coming of Mashiach b'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.
Amen. Amen.